You don't need these. Wake up, everybody. It's You Get the Blessing. Bo Mitchell and Bob Bell. Ooh, yeah. Great song. No reason to sleep in when you got us on the air.
How you doing?
In one word, never better. How did you know that? This is my best day, and every day goes according to the miracles I planned, will be even better. How about you?
It's a bright, sunny day.
Good choice, Lord.
Getting, in one word, getting better. No.
I got to admit, it's getting better. Well, our program is designed to bless you listeners every week with guests that we introduce you to that are incredible in their own lives and are doing incredible things with their lives. And everybody's got a story. We try to present guests this each week that have stories that will inspire you and encourage you and hopefully cause you to want to take action and get fired up about this life. I mean, come on. Doesn't matter what age you are or what color or what size. There's plenty to do, isn't there, Bob?
Absolutely. And that's the way God's wired us, and we're excited to be able to have great guests like we have today on the show.
Yeah, and when you do something, guess what? You get the blessing. And sometimes it's tough to see the blessings through the storm clouds. And our guests today are two friends of mine from the Pepsi Center and the Denver Nuggets world, where I've lived for 20 years, Sherwood and his son Nicholas Owen. So, Sherwood, I'll introduce you first by just saying thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Good morning to you.
And every time I walk into the Players Lounge before a Nuggets game, I see you two guys eating their dinner, eating your dinner in their lounge. And then every time I walk in the locker room, there's Nicholas sitting there taking care of business. So how long have you guys been associated with the Nuggets?
You know, we've been associated probably since 1990. At that time, Nicholas was an ambassador child for Children's Hospital, and they ended up connecting up. They were doing a fundraiser for the hospital, and Nicholas became their image. And so we developed great relationships at that time, and it's just continued to grow and experience so many blessings throughout that time.
Well, I don't know of anybody with a better smile or a better outlook on everyday life than your son Nicholas, but that has not come without its full share of issues, problems, challenges. So because we're radio, not TV, try to paint a picture of Nicholas's life. Give us ages, when the surgery started and the condition he's in now, and then we'll flip it over to Nicholas and let him tell us all the good stuff. But tell us when this all started kind of become your life day in and day out.
Well, in August of 1985, Nicholas was born. And at the time, we weren't aware of any challenges or difficulties at his birth. But upon his birth, the first thing we heard from the doctor was, uh-oh. And we were like, what's the concern here? And they took him away to ICU right away, and they said he has spina bifida. And at the time, we had no idea what spina bifida was. And but we learned very quickly. It's an opening in the back of the spine that develops usually within the first couple of months after conception, and it can affect a person in different ways depending on how high or low the opening is. And so for Nicholas, soon after he was born, he was in the operating room for his very first surgery.
Within days?
Within hours.
Within hours?
Within hours. They had to close it up, and then from there other complications developed, like maybe a shunt in his head because the fluid that goes through the spinal column from the head has no place to go, so they have to put a shunt in, which is a tubing, to alleviate the pressure in the head. And and sometimes those shunts work great the first time, and sometimes you're having to revise them quite a bit.
I'm sorry, I don't know your wife.
Marianne.
Marianne. So what were you all doing? Just sitting off to the side sobbing and thinking, where's God through all this?
Exactly. I mean, we have a strong faith and a relationship with God, and our faith community is incredible, and the prayers that rained down upon us. You know, it got us through the difficult times, and really in our relationship with the Lord, it's always been very much there. And even through all the other surgeries, we certainly take it to prayer and pray for the surgeons, pray for the nurses, pray for the healing, and just say, Lord, whatever will be, will be. And so that's the way we've learned to go into each one, as opposed to realizing, you know, we have no control. It's in God's hands.
So one procedure leads to another, and how many now, all these years later, have you had?
Nicholas has had over 30 surgeries. That's not the case with every person with spina bifida, but for him, there's been everything from spinal fusions, to eye surgery, to you know, to even little things like tonsils. For us, little things like tonsils is you know, for other people they really freak out over something like that. But
Some plastic surgery to get him this handsome with this kind of full head of hair over here, making me look like I'm.
No, he gets that from his mom.
He does.
But, you know, as a family unit with my wife, Mary Ann, and our daughter, Jacqueline, we are all very strong for each other. And our extended family unit as well is very supportive, and they do everything they possibly can. And our friends also. We're truly blessed with all the great people in our lives that really lift us up and help to make us allow us the opportunity to get through the difficult times.
So what's the future? Are we facing more surgery? Are we okay? Are we getting ready to stand up and run? Or are we just right? This is the great Nicholas Owens we get forever, which is great with me.
This is the great Nicholas Owens that we get. Life had changed a little bit back in 2003. He had a cervical fusion, and because his, we're going to say, if you want the image of it, his head was kind of sliding off his neck a little bit. And so they had to do a cervical fusion. And when they did that, the day after, his spinal cord went into shock. And as a result, he was no longer just a paraplegic. He became more of a quadriplegic. And he used to push himself around the old McNichols Arena.
That's about when I was getting to know you
guys. Pepsi Center to, you know, in his manual chair to all of a sudden, he had to move to a power chair, and so lost a great deal of mobility. And but you know what? Through it all, Nicholas has always had a great, great positive attitude. He has faced every challenge, and can't is not part of his vocabulary. And we don't look at anything with Nicholas. We don't look at it as, you know, we really feel like we've been cheated in our life, but we truly feel that we've been blessed in other ways and look for all the good that we have in our life. And that's been our attitude through everything, because you can choose to say, oh, you know, my foot's hurt and it's going to affect me and la da 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 da. But you know what? In the long run, it's your attitude that gets you through everything. And for Nicholas, even going into every surgery, he does it with such vigor and faith, and it actually lifts us up as well. So
and everybody in the Pepsi Center every night, including all those athletes.
You betcha. Even when he had a halo traction, you know, they said, okay, where do you want to go? And his first comment was, I want to get to a game. You know, so he showed up his first game when he was
you with your hands gestured what a halo traction is, but describe it a little more fully.
The halo traction is you see it around people's heads, and which is the halo portion that's tied into their skull. And the traction is to hopefully to stretch their neck a little bit. This was to get ready for their cervical fusion piece. And so they have it weighted. So it's pulling his head up.
Gotcha.
And it's on a wheelchair that's it's very difficult and very cumbersome.
So you and Marianne might be thinking, well, this could be a little embarrassing, and maybe we should just hang around the house. And Nicholas
right.
is like, oh, no, let's go to a ball game.
He said, let's go to a ball game. What did they do at the first game? They said, Nick, we want you to bring out the ball. You know, so the team was very much a part of his life, and they weren't embarrassed about it or anything. Of course, neither was he, and we were the ones going, okay, what are we going to do? Of course, nobody paid attention to the fact that we had to – pull the wheelchair out of the car and assemble the whole traction piece. And, you know, so there's a little things that people don't understand with that, too.
So as Sherwood's moving the mic over to Nicholas here, Bob, let me just say, everybody listening gets dealt tough hands once in a while, and it really is our attitude and the filter God gives us as we respond to those things that makes life good or bad, wouldn't you say?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think that what Nicholas does for all of us is give us an incredible example of what that looks like. So, you know, we really appreciate that.
So, if you're listening today and feeling sorry for yourself, snap out of it. Somebody else has got worse cards handed to them than you have, and they're doing a better job with it, maybe. And I encourage you, go ahead and cry as long as you need to cry. Because I'm positive Sherwood and Marianne, Jacqueline still cry from time to time, maybe feel cheated, but they've also made it better than anything they could have been dealt. They've made it a blessing. And Nicholas Owens, you are my friend, and you're a blessing to me, so welcome to the show, Nicholas.
Thank you both. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And what's it meant to you to have a dad like this guy sitting next to you here that just every night I walk into the Players' Lounge, you guys, when I say you're eating dinner, it's Sherwood usually getting three bites for every one that he feeds you. But I've always That's wondered true. About that combination. But he's quite a dad, isn't he?
Oh, he's amazing. I mean, you know, we have, you know, our little routines at the Nuggets games. And even when they're out of town and stuff, I mean, we high-five on first basket, slam dunks, three-pointers. And when Dad's not at the game, Mom has to take me. And, you know, I love her so much for, you know, putting her life aside and bringing me to the game. And so I'm like, okay, this is what you have to do. And she's like, oh, geez. And she goes for, you know.
She goes for the high-fiving and replacing Dad's role.
She goes for visiting.
So have you ever, can you remember back when all this started and you became old enough to speak and think? Do you remember the first time you thought, I'm different from all the other kids?
You know, I think it was when I was, you know, when I first started school. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, in preschool or kindergarten. And they said that we went to this one place and they're like, we want to put Nicholas in a school called Fletcher Miller. And Fletcher Miller was pretty much people, kids with disabilities. And, you know, had wheelchairs and stuff. You know, my mom, you know, I love her. She had that little Italian attitude. And she said, you know, this is not right. I mean, you know, here's my son who could, you know, he's getting ready for school. He can carry on an adult conversation with a neurosurgeon. And so they finally, they're like, okay. And so the principal at our elementary school, she's like, we can take Nicholas. She's like, just tell us what to do with him, and we'll take care of him.
Wow. And that was a good turning point for you, thinking, I can get along in this world.
It was amazing. I mean, you know, it was, like I said, it was a little scary at first going, you know, to different schools, you know, elementary school, then the transition to middle school and high school, but I mean, you know, I thank God every day that I have such a great support system and my friends and family are right there with me, helping me out.
Well, you got a lot of them. And I've seen you cry, but I've only seen you cry when you're happy. I've never seen you cry ticked off or discouraged or down the dumps. Do you have down moments?
I do, but I very rarely show it. You know, I may be, you know, really hurting inside, but I try to keep a smile on my face as much as I can.
You do it, friend.
Thank you.
Do people ever mistreat you? Just brush by you too fast and almost like they don't know what to do or what to say. So it's almost like, hey, I'm just going to avoid this little guy sitting over here that's obviously right in the center of the locker room. But
yeah, there have been times, like, I'll be out, like, even little kids, you know, and they'll be kind of staring at me. When I was little, I was a little self-conscious about it. And I was like, Mom, why are these kids staring at me?
Sure.
And she's like, well, maybe they're, you know, curious about why you're on crutches or why you're in a wheelchair. So she's like, you know, go up and talk to them. And so, you know, as I got older, you know, kids would look at me and I would just go right over to them and I'm like, hi. And I, you know, put my hand out and shake their hand. And I was like, I'm Nicholas. I was like, what's your name? And so they introduced themselves. And, you know, the parents, you know, they would kind of be hesitant at first, but then they would see that, you know, their child was, you know, interested. And so they would, you know, let them talk to me and I'd sit there, talk to kids for like 5 or 10 minutes or however long they wanted to talk.
And you're a giver, even in your spirit. And when you're talking to all of us, it's never about taking with you. It's always about giving something to the other guy, and you're great at it.
Thank you.
And I want to get to what we're getting ready to launch together here, but before we segue to that, Bob, let me just ask you, I don't know where, if this is biblical or if I'm making it up, but isn't it sort of out of our own need that we minister? And if you do it right in life, you almost do what Christ himself has done, and that's flip everything into an upside down world. And you give in response to your pain almost because you've learned something that nobody else could ever learn, and you're ready to give back.
Well, I think you're, you know, absolutely right on that. And I was just thinking about, you know, we don't really know what was wrong with the Apostle Paul, but he had something. And he actually called it his thorn in the flesh. And it was something that he didn't want to have. There's a lot of theories, but for whatever it was, it was something that he said, you know, I asked God to take it away. I prayed 3 times to take it away. And God's response to him was that, you know, that my grace is sufficient for you. And then he said, you know, because my strength, God's strength, is perfected in our weakness, which is such an upside down way of thinking. I think that in the world, you know, we think weakness is something, you know, obviously to avoid or to be ashamed of or something. And yet in God's economy, it's, you know, it's those areas in our life where we struggle and fail sometimes and are weak that we're have to be so dependent. And somehow in our dependency is really when Christ's strength is released. And so in many of our lives, I mean, sometimes if you go through a tough spot in your marriage, you know, you have the empathy and the ability to connect with people that are going through that. You know, when you struggle with something physical, and you know, I imagine Nicholas, I bet you're a tremendous encouragement, you know, to someone that does have some sort of a physical, you know, difficulty, that to be able to, I would just think, man, if I, you know, had something like that and came and was spend some time with you and just your infectious smile and your great attitude. I mean, I think you probably have a tremendous impact on, you know, on people, really out of kind of same thing, kind of out of your weakness, God can be strong through you. And
it's happened, so, hasn't it?
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
So do you want to tell them what we're going to do, or you want me to tell them?
You can tell them.
Well, for 15 years, I've looked at occasionally empty seats at the Pepsi Center and thought, you know, there are kids around town that need to be in those seats. So I've had a ticket program, and Susie Hayes and Mark Klibbe, Bob, through this radio program, our Crosswalk Fellowship, our Narrowgate Men's Club guys, we buy and distribute tickets, and kids seem to be blessed by it. Youth ministers who aren't going to get to take their kids to a game get to go out there and have a game day memory, be blessed with 3 hours, hey, off the clock, it's noisy, it's friendly, there's food, there's the Nuggets kicking somebody's tail, we hope, most nights. But I was just talking to Sherwood and Nicholas one night and said, have you all ever done anything specifically to just, how do you say that, use Nicholas as the inspiration for other kids whose parents may not feel like dragging them into the arena to come to a game, and you guys said, no, we've done little things here and there where we've brought people, but never anything where it's every game and groups of people. So that's kind of how the dream started, wouldn't you say, Nicholas?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we were just talking, and they said, great, how do we do it? So the partnerships that are merging together, first of all, is with Nicholas Owens as the guy who's been, how many years you've been down there in those arenas?
I've been around for 20 years.
Okay, and you do sure would feel when you're down there, even though you're feeding Nicholas and watching, you know, paying attention, it's still kind of a release, isn't it? And a relief to be doing something such fun together.
Oh, it really is. It's, as our girls say, it's guys' night out. And we spend our evening together as the girls spend their evening together, too. And it's really it's a release and being able to, from the chaos of just the everyday care of Nicholas and everything. It's, you know, it's what he lives for, is being with the Nuggets. And the Nuggets organization has been phenomenal. And we are, as I say, truly blessed that to have them. He's part of the family. He's on his 12th season coming up here now, working for them.
Oh, so, man, I can't get a dime out of these people. Nicholas, you know, is on the payroll. So tell them what name we've chosen for this new program we're launching.
Well, we've really, you know, gone back and forth, and I thought the best you know, name would have been Nick's Picks.
That's where we're going to go, Nick's Picks. So these are children that Nick's choosing from the pool of humanity here in our region that suffer from similar challenges as Nicholas has. And through partnership with the Denver Nuggets and developmental pathways and other organizations, we're going to make sure that there's a couple of families every night that come with the kids, parents, siblings, and have great seats in the ADA sections there at the Pepsi Center. And we're paying as we go, so don't think it's something we're taking advantage of anybody on, but we're just kind of honored to do it, the three of us, and to say thanks to the people that are going to be hosting the families that show up. And there'll be a banner in the arena, so unless you're a player, Mello, Kmart, JR, Nene, Chauncey, you don't get a banner except for Nicholas Owens, and his picture is going to be bigger than life in there in the arena. He'll be one of the guys, and it'll say Nick's Picks, sponsored by a group of guys I kind of work with in Game Day Memories. And that's what we're trying to do, is create a Game Day memory for these families. And it should look good every night, don't you think, Nicholas?
Oh, definitely. I hope it's a huge success. I mean, when we first started talking about it, I was like, this is going to be amazing for all these kids, you know, and their families, just to come and relax for a while.
Yeah, and I hope they never know the name Bo Mitchell or Bob Belts or you get the blessing, but I do hope they know they're coming as Nick's guests, and they're sitting right by that banner, and you and your dad are going to finish your pregame rituals and then stop by every night to touch base with them and say hi?
Right, definitely. Well, definitely, I'll get done with my job. I usually get done, depending on the time, about half an hour before the game, and then I usually start going up to my seats.
So it's going to be a blessing. And now, as an extension and additional to what your family's done with what could have been a tragic life, is just going to grow more as Nick's Picks moves around this community and blesses a lot of people. So, Nick, I'm just thankful that you were willing to be the inspiration for this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a very huge blessing for me.
You going to be embarrassed to see your face up there bigger than life in the arena?
No.
Well, we're going to keep working that picture, because I like you with that Nuggets cap. You know why I like that? That's what he always has. He always has a Nuggets cap on, so when I saw the first draft of our banner, I thought, what's wrong with this picture? Handsome, full head of hair, but no cap. That's what's missing. But isn't that going to be cool, Bob?
It's going to be great. And, you know, just one thing that just popped into my head, Nick, and I was thinking about in the scriptures in John chapter 9, Jesus has this experience where in this particular case, it was a young guy that was blind. And in those days, they had a very strange understanding of why that would be. And they said, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he would be blind? And Jesus said, neither. You know, this is to the glory of God. And I think that your life really is to the glory of God. And we're grateful for you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being on our program today. I'll see you soon because we're going to have some planning days here in the next couple months.
All right. Thank you very much.
So should I close with a song from The Ashes of Disaster, Grow the Roses of Success? That was a song from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but it's also biblical. I mean, God is in the business of fresh starts and new beginnings, and this is going to be fun, guys. I'm blessed to have you guys as friends and now partners in Nick's Picks. So look for us in the Pepsi Center, y'all. You'll see Nicholas Owen's face up there, and great job on the program. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you all again here next week on You Get the Blessing. Have a great week.